Thank you. Fanatic named Dave.
Hi, Dave.
My clean date's 12/12/19. The first thing I want to say, and I say this every time I give a lead, I had clean time before. I had 13 years clean, and I stopped praying. I stopped helping people. I stopped sponsoring guys. I stopped going to meetings, and it caught up to me, and I went back out. I worked at a treatment center for 7 years, and anytime someone would come back into the treatment center that had some time clean, I'd ask them what happened. And the answer was this: started out the same every single time. It was, I stopped. And, you know, I think it's important to say that. Like, I know today I can't stop. I have to be involved in this program with H&I. I have to be constantly doing something. If not, you know, I don't want it to go back. I know how fortunate I am to make it back, because a lot of people don't make it back. So 8 and 9. When I started my eighth step this time, I had a sponsor that just passed away. He passed away clean. And I got a new sponsor, and I was ready to start my A step, and I was getting surgery done, and the plan was, while I'm in the hospital, I'm going to be in there for 4 or 5 days, is to write this A step out. And what ended up happening is, I sat in a chair. And because of being a recovering addict, they gave me less pain medication, worried about me relapsing. So I sat in a chair in pain, like crying for 4 or 5 days, and thought about my A step. And it, like, couldn't write nothing down, couldn't do anything. But I thought about it. And they sent me home early, too early. I went home. My lung collapsed while I was taking a shower. I got my fat ass stuck in the tub, and it was a total mess. Ripped all the staples and stitches out, trying to get out of the tub, and went back in the hospital for a week. And that time, they gave me more pain meds, and I was able to write it out. It wasn't in as much pain, but you know, I sat down, wrote it out, and you know, from doing a fifth step, and I knew this from before, you know, 99.9% of the things that happened were of my doing. It was, I had a part in that. You know, the first time I was clean, I had shit happen when I was a little kid that wasn't my fault. But, you know, this time it was all my fault. You know, I sat down and I wrote, you know, and I want to say this. Both times I did two the first time I was clean, and one, you know, this time. And all three times, all the sponsors said, write yourself down first. And, like, I never got that until you get to 9. Like, that's the hardest amends to make, is to yourself, because of, you know, all the dirty shit I did. You know, wrote down, you know, all the family stuff. And having, like, the first time doing it, it was big. You know, there was a lot of stuff. This time it wasn't as big, but the stuff was deeper. I had CYS involved. I had a PFA. You know, we had PFAs on each other. I mean, it was fucked up. And, you know, all the wreckage with my family. You know, them 13 years, I built up credit, you know, got all this stuff, and then I burned all that credit and have all these financial ones to pay back. And, you know, I wrote all that stuff down. And, like, I'm really good with, you know, I'll do whatever I have to do because I don't want it to go back to the way it was. I'm scared to death to go back out there. So I have no problem doing what I have to do. There was no fear in any of that. You know, wrote it all down, and then I started, you know, at the time my sponsor, like our schedules conflicted. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm ready to do some of these. He's like, just go ahead, we'll go over the list. You know what to do, you was here before. So I started going out and making the amends. You know, I just had a financial one that, like, a little bit over a month ago, a credit company had called, and they wanted, you know, X amount of dollars, and I said, well, when you get it down to this amount, contact me then, because I'm not ready to pay all of that. And then they waited, and they contacted me again, and they said, we'll take this. So, like, I paid that, and then that's my last financial amends that I had to pay. You know, with my family, you know, I don't know if it's like an Irish thing, but like my family, you can't like sit down and say, hey, I'm sorry, you know, like, cause like my dad's so angry. Like he sits home and watches news all day and like wants to kill everybody. And, you know, he was in Vietnam and, you know, he's a badass. I was there yesterday, and you know, and just like to talk to him about, like, to open up and sit. I was like, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. And he's like, there's a half a bar of soap in there that the VA said I'm not allowed to use bar soap anymore. There's a half a bar and a brand new bar. Take them home with you. Like, what? I don't want a half a bar of soap. You know what I mean? Like, but it's, you know, it's never, there's no response there. And I mean, that's who he is. It is what it is, you know, but it's about me making, you know, me doing my part on it. You know, I have a wife / girlfriend / life partner. We have a kid. And when I went back out, we were totally apart, and then was using together, and then both got clean, but we're totally apart, and it's so confusing, and now we're together, and she's my best friend, but, you know, her, I'm not ready to make an amends to. I want her to see my amends on a daily basis. You know, And it's all like little things, you know, like me taking her flowers, me, you know, like doing like what I'm supposed to around the house, me being a part of something, you know, like, you know, we have a kid together. CYS took our kid, and our kid had to go stay at grandma's house for a while. And she was a nurse. She got caught taking meds. And we weren't together at the time. But, you know, like, CYS is why I'm here. CYS called, and they wanted me to... Now, I'm homeless down in Northside, you know, getting high. And CYS calls me and says they want me to come to this court hearing. I go to the court hearing, and they wanted me to voluntarily sign up to go through CYS's program. And, like, nobody's going to say, yeah, sure. And they said, if you don't, we will get a court order, blah, blah, blah. And they said, if she don't make it, we need you to be there for your kid. I've been gone for the last 4 years. You know, that's the reason I came in here, came back in here. You know, my kid, how bad we screw our kids up. When we started living together again, my daughter would wake up every night in the middle of the night to see if I was there. because the police have taken me out of there. The ambulance has taken me out of there. I've just left in the middle of the night and been gone for days. You know how messed up that is. She'll be 12 next month. You know, every day's a work. You know, it's a process. Me being trying to be the best dad I can be. You know, listening to her, like doing whatever I can. But you know, it's all things that I'm learning, you know, through the steps and applying these principles. But like the hardest thing is forgiving myself. My daily ritual is waking up in the morning and letting the dogs out. I sit out on the deck and I think about how it was. Because like to me it's important to take a trip down memory lane and remember how bad it got, how I wanted to kill myself, how I didn't have the balls to kill myself. Like I need to sit in that for a little bit, and then I get focused on like what am I going to do today. But like, you know, driving down the road, like them little, that committee in my head, you know, kicks in and is like, you remember you did that, you scumbag. You know, I always share about this too. In 1998 or 99, I was living in the middle of the state, was getting high and living with some girl. And I woke up in the morning and she said, "You're a piece of shit," which I already knew. And she's like, "I can't believe you." And she's shaking her head. And I'm like, "What?" "Well, we was waiting for this money to come. And there was a couple days. So I ate a bunch of Xanax to make it through the couple days," which that sounds normal to us, you know. And she said, "Look," and she points to the dresser. "And there's a jar for a kid with MS. I stole the jar from a convenience store." And I was like, man, what a piece of shit. But anytime I see one of those cans, you know, I can't get the wallet out quick enough to throw money in. Because, you know, that stuff still haunts me. You know, I know I'm a good person. But that committee starts their meeting and, you know, this, that, and I like what you were saying about like the character defects, you know what I mean? Because each one of them people in the head have a different character defect. The lust one comes in and the anger one, and they all start talking. And, you know, it's easy for me to beat myself up. You know, so like, how do I free myself? You know, like an answer I might not know, but like, I know helping people. I know doing H&I. I'm getting ready. Like, so I'm chair of H&I. As soon as that's up, I know I need to get a position and take a meeting in somewhere. I just gave up one that I had for 2 years. Cause I believe you just have one commitment. I will give that up and then I'll just cycle right back around. That's what I need to do. You know, like I said, I help people. The big thing this time, when I was clean the first time, it was about steps. When I got this new sponsor, when I got clean this time, it was about, we're gonna do your steps. And then you're going to take a look at the spiritual principles behind these steps. And that's what I want you to think about every single day and start applying them every single day. I always say this, when I drive up to the commitment I had, I'd go past a dojo and a martial arts dojo. And it says honor, you know, it says like all these words that I couldn't say with my name. You know, I can say them words today, and it's because of this program. But again, you know, it's so easy for me to beat myself up, you know, over the stuff I did. I prayed for the stuff, whatever. I just want it to go away. But I thought you were pointing at me, sorry. thanks, buddy. I know how fortunate I am to make it back in here. I've lost so many friends over these, last 5 years, I don't take this for granted. I truly think this is a gift. I was lucky to receive this gift twice, and I'm gonna do whatever I have to today to keep this gift. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
David.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother. I'm Stone Attic named Steve. Second speaker is Mary from the Williamsport area, so please give her your undivided attention.
I'm an attic named Mary. Mary. Nervous as shit. I know. I was thinking about a lot of stuff. Like, I've shared everywhere, right? World's coming up, and I remember the last world I went to was in Philadelphia, and I shared there, and I thought when I spoke there, like, I had arrived at some pivotal point in recovery. Like, I was like NA's golden child, right? Like, I got clean when I was 22. I was a homeless dope fiend, and I thought I knew like all of the answers to life. And I remember when I walked into my first NA meeting, I thought everybody was old enough to be my dad or my uncle. I got clean in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and there was no women, so I was like, yes, I'm gonna find like a boyfriend or two or three. Like, this is gonna be amazing, right? And fortunately, I stuck around long enough for women to come around. And then I ended up moving up to the Williamsport area, and I was introduced to even more women, right? And I'm sharing all that because, like, when it comes to the eighth and ninth step, for me, like, it says, like, don't think about the ninth step when you're right in the eighth step, but that's bullshit to me. Like, I wrote a fourth step knowing that I was gonna share it with somebody. Right? Like, I tried to be searching and fearless when doing a fourth step, but I knew I was going to tell all my deepest, darkest secrets to another human being. So my first eighth step had three people on it. It had God, my mom, and my son, right? And of course, my sponsor laughed at me and ripped it up and told me to do another one, I don't know if I was a slow learner or if I was just thinking that the rules didn't apply to me. Like, if you guys told me to turn left, I went right. If you guys told me to sit down, I stood up, it took me a long time in recovery to stop playing like the victim. I thought the reason I did what I did was because of the drugs. I thought I did what I did because of the life that I had, and if you had my childhood, if you were treated like me, if you had my parents, if you had my situation, you would have shot dope too. I always blamed other people for my behavior, and I wish I could say that stopped when I walked into Narcotics Anonymous, but it didn't. Like, it seemed like my list got even longer after I'd been around for a little while. Like, I didn't understand how my actions, attitudes, and behaviors caused people harm. And honestly, for a long time, there was people on that list that I thought deserved it. I was like, well, they did this, so that's why I did that. It took me a long time to learn how to, like, change the way that I thought. It took me a long time to want to take any accountability in recovery, So I made another eighth step, and And like the gentleman before me, like it was hard for me to put myself on that list. Even though not only could I see like the insanity of my act of addiction and like all the harm I caused myself, and I had sat in enough meetings and had heard enough speakers and heard enough people share that like most of all we harmed ourselves. Like it took me a long time to think that I didn't deserve the harm that I caused myself. Like it took me a long time to think that I was worthy of anything good, even in recovery. Now, I did what like I thought I was supposed to do in recovery. Like I got the husband and the kids and the picket fence and a little ass dog, and I got the college degree and I worked at a treatment center and I started sharing everywhere, and I thought, this is what recovery looks like. This is what recovery is supposed to be. Like this is me making amends to myself. But I still felt like that 22-year-old girl that like skull dragged herself into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And I didn't come into NA because like I had had enough. Like I came into NA because the state of Pennsylvania suggested strongly that I get my shit together and that I stop using. You know, that was the only thing that got me clean. And I thought it was going to impress a judge, you know, and it didn't, you know, but it took me a long, long time to really like think that I deserved and I was worthy of being happy, joyous, and free. Now, I wanted that desperately. Like, I wanted to feel happy, joyous, and free. And, like, there was probably periods in time in my recovery where I felt that. But then, because of the fact that, like, I didn't take any accountability and I always played the victim and I always blamed my feelings and actions and attitudes on other people. You know, it was because of the kids, or it was because of my mother, or it was because of this guy or that guy or whatever. You know, I just struggled, you know. So anyway, I eventually got it, and I eventually wrote the most thorough eighth step I could, the list. You know, I could see how I hurt my community, I could see how I hurt my family, I could see how I hurt my children and all the other people. And like, I remember it was because of coming to meetings and like sitting in meetings, especially this time of year, you know, when it's the eighth month, and like hearing the eighth step over and over and over again, and hearing people talk about just making a list, you know. And I started becoming more honest, like despite myself, despite my attitude of ignorance and arrogance, and you know, like hearing people share openly about how they were able to do it and get through it and how they experienced freedom, you know. And that's what I wanted. Like, I didn't want to continue to be the same person I was year after year after year, like getting into relationships and then getting out of relationships and then getting into another relationship with the same person with a different name and hurting myself over and over and over, but blaming them. You know, they just didn't know what they had, and they didn't realize how amazing I was, and if they only knew, you know. And yeah, just causing a lot of harm, you know. So as a direct result of my arrogance and ignorance, like I said, like my eighth step got longer and longer and longer, and it wasn't just talking about stuff I did in active addiction, but it talked about the people that I harmed in recovery. And because of the fact that I had a good sponsor that didn't tolerate my bullshit, and I had a good support group, and I was committed to Narcotics Anonymous, like, I heard stuff that helped save my life and helped change my attitude. I no longer felt like the victim, and I started taking some level of accountability. Like, it wasn't okay to sleep with a married man, even if nobody knew. like that kind of stuff wasn't okay. Trying to get like recovery on my back was not cool. Me getting that extra $5 from the cash register and not telling anybody didn't make it okay. You know, me still cheating on my taxes and like me still trying to use people, places, and things was not okay anymore. Like, I started to develop a conscience because of you people. Thanks for that. Thank you so much for that. You know, and I didn't want to be like that. And I knew, like, you guys told me, like, if I don't change, change we must or die we will is what our literature says. You know, grow up or die. Like, real hardcore recovery shit. And because I did 1 through 7, you know, because I was able to see the insanity of my behavior, you know, because I could see how powerless and unmanageable I became, because I knew, like, once obsession and compulsion kicked in, and it didn't matter if it was like over a drug or food or shopping or having stuff or even having the validation from people in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I shot up NA. Like, I wanted to share everywhere. I wanted to be everywhere. You know, I wanted to be the poster child for Narcotics Anonymous for some stupid reason. And I realized that that's not how you recover. You know, that's who I was in my active addiction, like being a chameleon and wearing masks and not being able to be my authentic self. And listen, like, I didn't see how like all of this played a part in like me causing harm to myself. Like, I thought that this is what we did in recovery. You know, this is what recovery was. And I was harming myself. And it was a harsh realization. It was a humbling realization. I've heard a couple people share about humility. You know, and my sponsor used to always tell me, you will be humbled or you will be humiliated. You know, like, you have a choice. You know, and there's been quite a few times in my recovery, countless times, that I was humiliated because of the fact that, like, I didn't share about taking the $5 extra from the cash register or cheating on my taxes or sleeping with married men until after the fact, until after I did all that shit. Like, because who were you guys? Were you guys still gonna validate me and like me if I told you who I really was in a meeting? Were you still gonna accept me, or were you gonna judge me because I had double digits and I had all this clean time? And like, were you still gonna think I was a good person if I was yelling and screaming at my kids after work? You know? Were you still gonna like me if I felt like I wasn't changing at all? Like I still felt self-centered and I still felt manipulative, and like, some days I still wanted to play like the victim. You know, but eventually I learned that like my life was at stake, and eventually I got okay with like realizing that the 9th step directly follows an 8th step. And even the people that I didn't want to put on my 8th step, you know, in recovery, like, there's definitely some recovering addicts that I was like, I am not apologizing to them. Like, they were wrong and I was right, so they should be the one adding me to their 8th step, you know? Be it somebody I got into a fight with at a business meeting or at area service, or one of my sponsees or my sponsor or anybody, you know? You know, there's just certain people I didn't want to add to the list, but I felt like I needed to add to that list. Like, if I really truly wanted to get better, if I really wanted to experience the freedom, you know, that these steps talk about, then I really needed to add those people especially. You know, and something else my sponsor used to always tell me is like, you are only responsible for your recovery. Like, I'm always responsible for my side of the street, you know? But like the guy shared before me, like, everything begins and ends with me. So like every situation I've gotten into in my recovery, like, I was a willing participant in, you know? And sometimes that sucks, like taking accountability and being an adult, you know, and applying these steps in my life, not just writing them down on a sheet of paper and going it over with my sponsor, but truly trying to apply the principle of open-mindedness when writing an A step, like really trying to be open-minded and not focusing on what like other people did to me or what I feel like the state of Pennsylvania did to me. Like, I feel like they were a little harsh. Like, my crime wasn't really that bad. I didn't kill anybody. Like, they could have been a little more lenient, you know? But like, just looking at the part that I played in every one of those situations, whether it was financial, you know, overdrafting from banks a little bit too much, you know, and those relationships that I felt like I was the victim and I was wronged and how could they do that to me? You know, I realized that like taking ownership in even those situations allowed me to kind of make amends to myself. It kind of made me realize that that's how I was making indirect amends to myself, because it forced me to grow up, you know? And then I would be less likely, maybe not completely likely, but less likely to continue doing the same shit over and over again. One of the greatest gifts I think Narcotics Anonymous gave me was the ability to make amends to my mother, right? My mom was an addict all throughout the 80s. I'm originally from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and I grew up a little ghetto hood rat, and I was proud of that for a long time. Still a little proud. I still tell my kids, I still got it in me. Like, it's still there. Don't play with me. Don't mess with me, you know? They call me Guadalupe on the streets and shit. You don't want to meet Guade Guade, you know? But the gray hair kind of does not intimidate them anymore. They're like, come on, mom, like. But no, so my mom was an addict my entire life growing up, and she was the first person I got high with, and she was the person that convinced me to go to treatment and impress the judge when I was 21 years old, like 2 weeks shy of my 22nd birthday. And she convinced me to go to this place and get an assessment and all this stuff. And on the way there, she smoked a blunt together and was high as shit during my assessment. And I told him, I only smoke weed on Wednesdays. I don't really need any help, you know. And at this time in my relationship with my mother, like, I came into NA completely resentful and angry at this woman. Like, I figured, like, did she put a drug and a man above our relationship my entire life, you know, and now she's expecting me to get clean. But what I failed to realize is that, like, she was taking care of my son, her grandson, who was a year and a half, and I was sleeping in my car in the middle of the woods like this, and the only thing I had was a bag with a stamp on it. Like, that's all I had, and a bunch of dirty-ass clothes, you know, and I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and I still wanted to blame her. I still wanted to be angry at her, like, it was her fault that I used, it was her fault that I ended up where I was in my life, and I still wanted to blame her for not giving me enough hugs and kisses when I was 5 years old, and, you know, for not getting me a tricycle or some shit. You know, for just not being present in my life. And because of, like, the stuff that I talked to you guys about, to share with you guys, like, despite myself, coming to meetings and sitting in church basements and going to speaker jams and conventions and this, that, and the third, and most importantly, about having people in my life that believed in me and wanted to help me in my recovery. Like, having a good sponsor that allowed me the process of pain and growth, allowing me enough room to hurt myself once in a while and end up in the fetal position on the phone with her until 2 o'clock in the morning. But also just teaching me how to be a good daughter and hold myself accountable. You know, my mom ended up becoming my biggest cheerleader in my recovery. And what I failed to realize is that, like, while I was out there sticking a needle in my neck, she had stopped using and had started going to church, and she was clean, you know. Now, for the first year, she didn't really even want me in her house. She was like, here, I crocheted you a blanket while you're in rehab, like, try to stay warm, honey, you know, and she did. She became my biggest cheerleader. She would come to open meetings with me, and, you know, she would watch the kids so I could go to, like, events and conventions and hang out with you guys. And when I had 13 and a half years clean, she passed away. And because of the fact that I wasn't making meetings anymore, and I was not even sponsoring myself, like, I ended up using. And I didn't use because of her death. I used because, like, I didn't want to feel anymore. I didn't want to deal with the grief of losing her. I didn't want to talk to you people about it. I didn't want to come into a meeting and reach out for help. I didn't want to feel anything. Now, I had been around long enough and been to enough meetings to know that people have lost parents, children, spouses, and still stayed clean. Like, I knew that there was hope for me out there, but I just didn't want it. Like, I made a conscious decision that I wanted to use, and nobody was going to stop me. And I knew I was going to be out there for a while. And then again, like, state of Pennsylvania intervened. Because that's what it takes for an addict like me. Like, it says, like, holy water praying over me and holding me down. They could have 12-stepped my ass, and I probably still would have been like, dude, it's like, I'm not done yet. Like, I'm just not done. But, like, cling, cling, like, that kind of, like, gives me that motivation to, like, stop using and maybe make a meeting, you know. Coming around this time around, you know, because I don't believe there's any coincidences in recovery either. Like, there's a reason why I shared after somebody who relapsed after 13 years, too. And, listen, like, I beat myself coming back. Like, I beat myself up every day. Like, I would go into meetings where I knew, like, luckily it was, like, at the end of COVID, so there was only, like, 4 or 5 people in meetings and shit. So I had no problem raising my hand and be like, I'm back, y'all. Like, you know, and then there was this NA on Zoom shit. And listen, like, I don't knock it. It helped save my life. It was a way for me to still make meetings. But I missed the hugs, man. I missed the compassion, and I missed you guys. I missed seeing your faces. You know, so I came back in, and I wasn't beaming with joy. You know, I was still angry, fearful, and resentful, mainly with myself. And it took me a while. It took me a long time, and some days, like, I still struggle with it, right? Like, it was a very, very close friend of mine that asked me to come up here today. And then asked me if I wanted to share, and I haven't shared at a retreat or a convention in a very, very long time. And I was like, I don't got shit to say, but yeah, sure, why not, I can share without even telling me the topic of doing an 8th and 9th step and freeing myself, you know. And and I'm glad she did, you know. I've done another 8th and 9th step, and, you know, currently in my recovery, right, I have the ability and I have the opportunity, I should say, to really, like, implement an 8th and 9th step in my life. Because, listen, I was sitting in a meeting Thursday, let's say Saturday, yeah, 2 days ago, I was sitting in a meeting, and I wanted to beat the brakes off of this member in Narcotics Anonymous. I wanted to throw chairs. I wanted to take it back to, like, the 1990s and shit in meetings that I always hear about. I did, and I was sitting there, and it was an Ask a Basket meeting, and this person was sharing about anger. And I was like, fuck you. I want to be angry right now, and I want to stew in my shit. And then I heard somebody else in the back of my head say, okay, you can be angry, but just don't stay there. Don't stay there. You're going to block your blessings. You're going to miss an opportunity to grow right now, Mary. So just do not try to fight. You know, you're not 22 anymore. You know, you have a 21-year-old son, bitch. Okay, chill. Chill. And there's a possibility you might lose in front of all your friends. Like, you might get your butt kicked. There's a good possibility. You're not in shape anymore, girl. So, I didn't get in a fight, and it gave me an opportunity. It gave me an opportunity to not add one more person to my list. And for me, that's growth, because like at one point in time, I didn't care in recovery. Like, I didn't give a shit if I hurt your feelings. I'd be like, oh well, hurt your feelings, save your life, blah blah blah. But now, I've grown up a little bit, you know. It could just be my age, and you guys have made me soft and mushy now, but today I'm just no longer okay with adding people to my A-step, you know? And I try to make amends to those that I have hurt and I have wronged by being a better person, by doing step work, by giving that $5 back, by no longer getting intervened by the state of Pennsylvania. You know, by not sleeping with married men, by being a good mother, learning how to keep my mouth shut is like a huge way I try to make amends to myself and others, you know. But I just try to be a better person, man. And every day it's not easy. And, you know, some days I drop the ball and I fall short. And like, the thing about what you shared, like the thing about like beating myself up and being hard on myself, I've heard this 1,000 times, like put down a bat and pick up the feather bullshit, but it's true. Like, you hear that shit so much that like you lose the meaning behind it, you know. And sometimes I gotta learn that it's okay to be human. It's okay to feel shit, anger, fear, resentment. Like, it's okay to feel all those feelings. I just gotta try not to allow it to dictate my actions today. I have to allow myself to feel, deal, and heal. I have to allow myself an opportunity to really like practice this program, even when it's difficult. You know, I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to share. You know, maybe I needed to share about some of this stuff, you know. I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut up. And I know people say that and then they talk for another 10 minutes. But I'm going to try not to do that. But, you know, I was on my way up here and I was with a bunch of two of my girlfriends. And I was sitting there, it just reminded me like of old times, and it reminded me like a simpler time in my recovery, but I was also thinking about what I was gonna share when I got here, right? Because there's still a part of me that wants to sound like that good Sharon ass Mary from back in the day, like that good circuit speaker, an NA guru and shit. Fuck out of here. But anyway. I said, Mary, you just need to be yourself. You've been around long enough to know that like you just need to be yourself, and that's a way to get the help and the healing and to be able to get the freedom that you deserve. Like today, I deserve to be free, even when life's not going the way that I want, right? Even when the job has me stressed out, the kids are probably destroying my house right now as we speak. I'm so tired of them eating all my damn food. I want them to go back to school so bad. Anyway, just to be able to like be my authentic self, probably for the first time in a really long time, and be comfortable in my own skin, man. And this is a way I get to make amends to myself and all those people I lied to, I used, I manipulated, I cheated, you know, by by being a better version of myself, and that's all I got.
Thank you. Appreciate it.